Now, friends, we come today to the division of the kingdom under Jeroboam, who led in a rebellion and took the 10 northern tribes, and that formed the kingdom of Israel. And Rehoboam, a man that certainly did not have the wisdom or the diplomacy of his father Solomon, and he was really responsible for the splitting of the kingdom. Now, I want to say that in our notes, and this is the reason you should have a copy, we have a chronological table of the kings of the divided kingdom. We have Judah on one side, the line of David as it goes down, and we have the dates, the best they can be ascertained, number of years that each king reigned, and then on the other side we have Israel and the kings that reigned in Israel. And they're followed down to the time of the captivity. The northern kingdom went into captivity in Assyria, and the southern kingdom went in captivity to Babylon. Now, there can be a great deal of confusion as you go through this section, and king after king, and you wonder whether this king is king of the northern or the southern kingdom, whether he's good or bad. Well, our chart will show that, and it will show whether he's good or bad. When I was a freshman in college, they had a Bible course that was very puerile, to tell the truth. It was a weak cup of tea, but there were certain questions that were always asked from time immemorial. One of the questions was, name the kings of Israel and Judah and briefly describe the reign of each. Well, some freshman in the years gone by made a profound discovery. He found out that if you just memorize the kings and write after each one of them a bad king, that you would make 95%, and what freshman would want to make more than that? So that's all they did. Now you're going to find that in the northern kingdom, every king was bad. There wasn't a good one in the lot. In the southern kingdom, you have a few that could be labeled good. I would say that there were probably a half a dozen kings in the southern kingdom over that 200-year period that could be called good kings. The rest of them were bad kings. Now, this is a dark blot in the history of this nation, but it could be, I think, said also in the reign of other kings in other lands. By the way, if you wanted to bring it home, how many good presidents have we really had? Oh, I know if you're a Democrat, you know who you think is a good president, and if you're a Republican, you know who you think. I'm of the opinion that history has to record that we didn't do so well either, by the way. We've had probably a little better percentage, but our batting average hasn't been too good. So that the thing, though, that makes this so dark is these people had light from heaven. They had a revelation from God, and their responsibility was different. And also, I feel like the responsibility of our nation is greater than the responsibility of another nation, because we've had, in a particular way, more light from heaven than many other nations have had. And yet we've had this very black spot in our political life. Now, we give this as a background, and I think that I'd like to take a backward look at Solomon again for just a moment to see why the kingdom was rent. Because why would a wise man become a fool as he became? And that's exactly what happened. Here is a man given a special dispensation of wisdom from God to administer the kingdom. But that wisdom did not apparently enter into his own personal life. It was not spiritual wisdom or spiritual discernment, because Solomon obviously did not have that, but he had certain basic principles and certain basic concepts that enabled him to be a very wise ruler. But it didn't enter into his own private, personal life, and certainly not his spiritual life. And you begin to see that very early in this man's life, that we notice that he never really broke with false religion. You'll remember at the very beginning when he came to the throne that there was idolatry, and he rather closed his eyes to it. He took no particular, definite, positive stand relative to that. And then you find here that he began to engage in that which was the mark of prosperity. He sent ships out to bring back apes and peacocks. And after all, a man that's called of God to witness for God and live for God and to glorify God, there's nothing particularly wrong with apes and peacocks. But it is wrong if you've been called to glorify God. That is the thing in this man. And you find that there's a definite weakness in this man, Solomon. Now, the book of Proverbs reveals the wisdom of Solomon, but the book of Ecclesiastes reveals the foolishness of Solomon. You'll not find any failure of this man or of his father David in the book of Chronicles. And I think probably I ought to run ahead and just say this. The book of Chronicles, the two books, cover the same ground as we have here, with this difference. Here you have man's viewpoint. You have the history given, while over in the book of Chronicles, you have it from God's viewpoint. Now, God forgave David. And when God forgave him, why, he blotted out his sin. And from God's viewpoint, it's not mentioned in Chronicles, but God put it in the book of Kings for men to see it. And God forgave Solomon, and his failure, likewise, is not recorded. And we begin to see the weakness of that man. He began to multiply wives. God never went along with polygamy, that is, many wives. God never approved it. God condemned it. God said that his wrath was against him. And the very interesting thing is that always immorality and false religion go together. John made it very clear for the Christian. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Don't kid yourself. You can't live in sin and serve God and have fellowship with him. Now, you can fool the people round about you, and unfortunately, we've got Christian leaders today that live in sin. They have had problems that relate to morality, and they have been proven immoral. And yet people go ahead and support them. I've never quite understood why they do it. But the very interesting thing is that this is something that they're not fooling God about, and they're not having fellowship with him. Now, we find here that this man, Solomon, is a man that I feel was a great failure. I think that probably there are two men in the Scripture that had tremendous potential, tremendous opportunity. One was Samson, and the other was Solomon. And both of these men failed God at that particular time. And it was one of those things that is indeed tragic. Now, this man, Solomon, and I think probably ought to put an epitaph over him because of the fact that he was a failure. We find in Ecclesiastes 2:17 this language. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And the glory of Solomon was a passing glory. And our Lord could say that that little flower on the side of the road that you passed unnoticed, that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like that little flower is. And I say to you, the passing glory of this world today. I felt like that I ought to more or less preach Solomon's funeral service at this particular time, because now we are seeing a kingdom rent and it's rent because of the sin of this man.